This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In Iraq today, a group of leading Sunni Muslim clerics denounced the country's landmark elections. The Association of Muslim Scholars urged its followers to boycott the vote, and now it says that any government formed will lack the legitimacy to draft a constitution. Seeking to ease tension between Iraq's various factions, the country's interim prime minister, Ayad Alawi, met today with top political leaders in Baghdad. NPR's Anne Garrows has the story.
The excitement about Sunday's elections among Iraq's Shiite majority and Kurds was impossible to ignore. But Western diplomats concede the turnout by Sunni Muslims in four of Iraq's 18 provinces, where the insurgency is strongest, was disappointing. But to make this work, Sunnis need to be included. Cleric Abdul Aziz al-Hakim, who heads the Shiite ticket, expected to win the largest number of parliament seats, has promised the new government will embrace all of Iraq's groups. Interim Prime Minister Ayad Alawi went even further. He invited politicians of all stripes to a meeting. All reportedly pledged to make the new government all-inclusive. But a senior Western diplomat, who asked his name not be used, is leery of promises and predictions until final results are known. And even then, he warned, positions will have to be clarified. No one group is likely to muster the two-thirds majority in parliament needed to choose the presidency council, which in turn will choose the prime minister. Adding to political unknowns, the Shiite ticket is far from a unified front containing both secular politicians and conservative clerics. The fractured Sunnis still need to find leaders they believe in. In retrospect, Sunday's election seemed the easy part. Diplomats are praising what they call the most transparent and open elections in the Arab world. The chief UN election official, Carlos Valenzuela, was clearly moved by the dedication of 150,000 Iraqi election workers who defied early skepticism and constant threats to stay at their posts.
It shows to me that if people are convinced that the process being offered to them is a real process, that it could make a difference, people are going to take chances, people are going to take risks.
Though there have been some complaints aired, no formal objections have been lodged. This, Valenzuela says, is a problem.
To me, that's a little bit suspicious, because obviously there must have been irregularities out there. And I think that is probably because people are not used to the mechanisms of complaints.
Valenzuela wants complaints, so Iraq can learn as much as possible from this process because it has even more complicated elections ahead, a referendum for a constitution in October, and another round of national elections next December. While buoyed by the success of Sunday's elections, Valenzuela says Iraq still has a long way to go.
I have seen people being disillusioned with transitional elections because they think that transitional elections are going to change everything and it's going to solve all the problems and they're going to just be the answer to everything, and they're not. You know, and elections are not democracy. Elections are essential for a democratic process, but it's just a step.
The senior Western diplomat who briefed reporters here had a similar warning. While elections were a challenge, he said there's harder work ahead, the hardest of which will be putting together a national vision, writing a constitution which reflects what kind of country Iraqis want, making decisions on whether to create a free market economy or make slow reforms. How to deal with de-Ba'athification is still a sensitive issue, and given the prospect of an ongoing insurgency, he said the new government will have a full agenda once it takes office. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.